Welcome back in, Darren, Donick, and Chase. It is that time every Wednesday at 10:15. We talk to Paul Feinbaum, and he's brought to you by MTGRT.com, your live and local mortgage expert. Paul, how you doing?
I am doing great. What's up, guys?
You know, we're feeling pretty good today, but I want to start with the overtime rule, because Saturday was really the first time that we got to see these new rule changes, you know, go full force with all these two-point conversion attempts between Penn State and Illinois. Illinois gets the big upset. So my guess is James Franklin's looking for his house in L.A., but we'll get to that in a second. But what do you think about this, the new overtime rule, as they try to shorten the games and not go all night with these overtimes, but it still was kind of odd?
I thought it was bizarre. I'll tell you a quick story. I was in Oxford at and I jumped on a plane in Memphis to go to Atlanta, and the game was on our TV, and I didn't use the headphones because I was doing a couple of other things, and I had no earthly idea what was going on, and because I was about to get off the plane, and the overtime took the entire flight. It wasn't a long flight. When I got off in Atlanta, I went by a sports bar and looked, and I saw that Penn State had lost, and I'm like going, I don't know. I kept thinking I was seeing it on delay because I'd forgotten the rule. And guys, it made no sense to me. And once I was able to watch it with the sound later, it made even less sense. It's just stupid. Let them play football. I mean, this is not a video game. This is not soccer. And I think it needs to be redone immediately.
Yeah, I mean, I think they've overthought it, is kind of what it looks like. Is, you know, I don't know what was so bad about getting the ball at the 25 or the 30 or whatever you want to do and go in until you have a winner. If you want to make after the third overtime go for two, then fine, do that. But I agree.
In fairness, they did put out the numbers. I think I saw this from Nicole Auerbach. I think 10 of the 16 games that have gone to overtime do not go past the second overtime. So it or past the first overtime. There's only been, I think, three that have gone into this two-point thing. So it's a rare thing with all the college football games that are being played, but it is worth a discussion.
Yeah, I mean, maybe rare, but this just happens to be the only one I've watched. And
well, you also watch Illinois Penn State, not exactly the most exciting offenses.
Yeah. I think that's, I mean, if we had been, you know, if this had been you know, maybe Ole Miss and Tennessee or something, it would have been a little different. You're right. That was the worst possible matchup to be tested, but it's still terrible, and I'm going to complain whether you convince me or not.
So I made the joke about James Franklin. He says that his future at Penn State is not a distraction to his team, whatever, because I think it is. Do you feel like that, you know, whether I don't see LSU being a fit for him, to be honest. You may disagree. I think USC is the perfect spot for James Franklin. So where do you think this all goes?
Yeah, I thought the most interesting thing, I was watching something earlier, and they played James Franklin's press conference from this week and Mike Tomlin's, and just showed how one person answers a question affirmatively and declaratively, and another one does subterfuge. And I think James Franklin is going there, and I think the greatest sign that he is has nothing to do with what he said this week. It's the fact that he just got through hiring Jimmy Sexton. He had Trace Armstrong, I think, who's a very well-known agent, but Jimmy Sexton is the best known. And you don't change agents, guys, if you're not planning on moving. Dan Mullen did that a couple of years ago, right before he left Mississippi State for Florida. It's the preamble to a big move. And it just so happens that Jimmy Sexton represented the last coach at SC, and the one before that, and the one before that. He knows the people.
He does know the people. I always assume that the agent is Jimmy Sexton. If it's unknown, I just assume it's him. That guy knows all the codes, no question. So, Paul, assess the situation with Georgia going in to Florida here. It's always an interesting game. It's the Jacksonville. It's the neutral site. So you want to think that the underdog has a chance here, but Florida looked very flawed against LSU, as we know. Do you think they can bounce back and give Georgia a good run?
No. And I love it every time, you know, you get the fans of the game, and I'm down there every year for this game, and I hear the, oh, you got to throw the record books. No, you don't. I mean, that's great conversation, but it doesn't mean anything. I mean, this Florida team just does not look elite. I don't see how they can. I mean, they still can't figure out who their quarterback is midway through the season, and they're up against the best defense in the country, and I think they'll get smacked around pretty good.
One of the things that I enjoy at this time of the year is you have these teams that are clearly not juggernauts. They were not preseason favorites, but they're putting together great seasons. Kentucky would be one. There's no question Wake Forest is one. There's a few others we could name. But now they have that challenge where the spotlight starts coming on them a little bit more. They're playing teams that, you know, from a ranking standpoint, you think they should beat. But the reality is they're only maybe a couple of points favorite. So let's look at Kentucky at Mississippi State. I'm really curious to see how teams play in that spotlight.
Yeah, it's a dangerous game. I happened to be in Columbia, South Carolina, about 7 weeks ago when they played up there, and they barely won the game against a really bad team. So they can play down, and Mississippi State is a really strange team. They've done very little this year, but they beat NC State, which is a pretty good team. And they beat Texas A&M on the road, which may end up being the strangest outcome of the year when you think about it. But yeah, I think Kentucky the next 2 weeks is in a really weird spot because they have this game, then they have Tennessee next week, and you know, they could lose both but my gut feeling is they'll win both, and they'll have the quietest 11-1 season in college football history.
That would really be a story if it can get to that. That's what everybody is curious about, but there's a lot of track to cover before we get there. As you mentioned, they could lose both. Same thing with Ole Miss. So how about Ole Miss at Auburn? That's another really – Auburn's actually the favored team, but Ole Miss is the team that has that track that we're talking about, that if they can keep doing what they're doing, they could end up with an amazing season.
I think Ole Miss Auburn is the most intriguing SEC game of the week because I mean Auburn has had the quietest season I've ever seen. I mean it was a month ago when nobody, including me, thought Bo Nix should remain another down as quarterback, and you know they have continued to surprise people, and yeah, you know, I think they'll probably win this game against Ole Miss. I just think Ole Miss is battered. They played Tennessee in a rough game, and then last week LSU, and this is just a really tough road game, and I think home field probably matters the most here. I there's not that much difference between the two teams. Last year it was pretty much an even game, and the officials made sure that Auburn won, and I agree. And by the way, if Auburn wins this game, conversely, suddenly they go to A&M next week, and they have Alabama later on, and we're talking about Brian Harsin for other reasons than the fact that he hasn't been vaccinated.
We're talking to Paul Feinbaum, SEC Network and ESPN. So we're going to get the first college football playoff rankings next week. If you look at all the polls, obviously it's Georgia, Cincinnati, Alabama, Oklahoma. I believe Oklahoma is going to eventually get bit. They've been playing with fire all year long. I feel like they're going to stumble at some point down the stretch. So in your mind, if that happens, does that just open the door for Ohio State to get back in there if they take care of business the rest of the way?
Ohio State should be back in there. And it's going to be really interesting to see what whatever person the committee sends out to meet the media, who reminds me of my old H&R Block tax assessor. I mean, that guy... Has anybody on one of those Tuesday night shows ever made a lick of sense?
No, I don't even listen. The first couple, really, is it worth even listening to the spiel?
I say this because it's not worth listening to because they are following what we've seen so far, not what is going to happen. And when I look at it, I try to factor in what I think is going to happen, not what. Yeah, so they'll weigh the Oregon win over Ohio State pretty seriously. I don't care about that game anymore. Ohio State is not the same team. And, you know, the team that I'm most interested in is Cincinnati. Being on that plane the other day after the, I was flipping between the Illinois-Penn State game, I was subjected to have to watch the Cincinnati-Navy game. And I came away underwhelmed by Cincinnati. I mean, if you take out their one impressive win of the year at Notre Dame, they're not really that. They don't do much for me. And I'll save my bullets for later in the year, but they're not one of the top four teams in the country.
So, Paul, another great game here. And, of course, as we're talking about these teams that are going to weed themselves out over time, you've got a pair of really solid teams, but not, people will probably not say great teams, Michigan-Michigan State, but it's a great rivalry. So what do you think on that one?
Yeah, I have to believe Michigan figures out a way to win this game. And I mean, they have quarterback controversies as well, just like a lot of other schools. But I think Michigan State is just somewhat fraudulent in terms of where they're ranked versus who they played. And I would say the same about Michigan. The good news is that Michigan has to play Michigan State, Penn State, and Ohio State. So at the end of this run, there won't be any mystery. That is one thing about the Big Ten. It's been an intriguing league to watch, but everything is about to happen. Where the SEC, a lot of the big games have already played out.
Paul, we saw last week Tennessee gave Alabama a fight for, three-fourths of the game. Bama pulls away in the fourth quarter, like everybody kind of figured would happen eventually. But we've seen some fight out of the Vols. We've seen them be in a close one with Ole Miss. We all know how that ended and all of that. But what's kind of your impression of what Josh Heupel's doing right now? And are you seeing glimpses that, hey, you know what, maybe he is going to turn this around?
Yeah, I am seeing a lot of positive signs. And I think the good news for Josh Heupel is the expectations were so low that he didn't have to do very much. And he's exceeded that already. I've watched 100 Alabama-Tennessee games, and that's the closest 28-point game I've ever seen. Yeah. You can make a case that Tennessee was in the game, and unless you live in Tennessee or Alabama, you probably won't even care about anybody making that statement because you'd probably just turned it off as soon as Tennessee went down by two or three touchdowns. But Tennessee played well. They played well against Florida, and they lost by 24. They played, the Pittsburgh game is the game I think we misread. That was a good Pittsburgh game. We didn't realize it at the time. Tennessee is probably going to finish 500. Go to a bowl game, but they're building, and I give Josh Heupel credit for not leading anyone on, not making somebody not doing the Butch Jones sales pitch, and he is I think he's hopefully if the Jeremy Pruitt situation calms down and Tennessee doesn't spend most of its time in court as opposed to trying to recruit, this program is in good shape.
Yeah, the key to me is going to be recruiting, because you can tell they just don't have the horses. They just don't have a lot of depth. A lot of players transferred out, and Butch and others were able to recruit, but then they couldn't develop. But what I'm seeing right now, at least early on, is they're developing players. They're buying into the system.
They are, and we kind of thought it would be exciting, and it is. Ultimately, this has a shelf life, but considering how bad things were a year ago, I'll take it.
Paul, as we let you go, real quick, you mentioned the investigation. I think this is a really interesting dilemma that you're in if you're Tennessee. I still don't know if they've come out and said, correct me if I'm wrong, about all of the findings of their internal investigation where they're saying it was all Jeremy Pruitt, we don't owe him any money. And on one hand, you're like, well, we hope the penalties aren't that bad that we self-impose because we want Josh Heupel to have a chance. But if that's the case, that probably means that you owe Jeremy Pruitt more money. You see what I'm saying? Like, you're kind of in trouble one way or the other.
I have a bad feeling that when all this is over, I agree with you, that the Tennessee chancellor is going to regret saying what she did the day she said it about Jeremy Pruitt, because Tennessee has done more damage to itself publicly than I think they needed to. And I know it feels good when you get out there and stand on a high horse, but ultimately you're supposed to defend the program. And I'm not sure that's exactly what we saw here, because all the facts are not in. And Jeremy Pruitt, it's easy for me to say I don't have this kind of money, and most of us don't. But all they had to do was write him a check for somewhere, between $6 and $12 million, which would, be settling for whatever they owed him, and gotten rid of him. Instead, he is that scab that won't go away. And if he wants to play scorched earth, I promise you, he can do a lot of damage. He may never coach again, But you know, you don't need that program, you know, burned to a crisp while it's trying to get out from under the last couple of years. And that's where I think we are. And you know, I thought the Philip Fulmer statement the other day was ridiculous. You know, I mean, just fighting words. I mean, that's not how you move ahead. You figure out a way to deal with Pruitt, get this thing done, and hope the NCAA will let you off the hook. And I don't see that happening.
Yeah, it's certainly going to be interesting to watch that one play out for sure. Paul, we appreciate the time as always, and we will do it again next week.
Pleasure was mine, guys. Thanks.
Paul Feinbaum, brought to you by MTGRT.com, your live and local mortgage expert. He joins us every Wednesday at 10:15 to talk all things college football. We'll have much more coming here on the other side as you listen to Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 1025 The Game.